Well, please have your Bibles open at Mark chapter 4. I'm sure that at some point, all of us have been in the situation where we've got a secret which we're not allowed to tell. It may be that you've decided that you're going to get married, but you can't let people know until the family know. Or it may be that you're expecting a baby. It may be that you've got a promotion at work and you're not allowed to tell people because the management have got to announce it for you. But you've got that sort of feeling inside you, haven't you, that there's something secret which you want to share. You've got that burning desire to share, but you're not allowed to say anything until a certain time. And then when that time comes and you're allowed to freely share that secret, you tell pretty much everyone, don't you? Obviously, you tell your family, you tell your friends, you tell your colleagues. You tell the random stranger on the bus that you're sitting next to, the person in the checkout at the supermarket. You tell everyone because you think everybody is interested in your news. And it's wonderful to be in that situation of having a secret to tell, which you want to share with folk all around you. And you want everyone to know about it. You just can't keep the news to yourself. You're bursting to let it out. And you may be a little bit over the top. But this sort of scenario is really describing what's going on here in Mark's gospel. Last time we were looking at Mark chapter 4, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the crowds in parables so that they wouldn't understand. But for those who were disciples, those who were followers, they got the explanations. They were being told the secret of the kingdom of God. But it wasn't the time to be broadcasting it. They had to keep it secret for a little while. How long they keep it secret for? Well, Mark 9 verse 9 gives us a little hint of that, where Jesus is just coming down after the transfiguration, coming down from the mountain, and he says to the disciples there that these things were to be kept secret until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead, until the time that they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this, we see the disciples, we see the followers of Jesus, and they're being told a secret, which they're not allowed to share openly and freely until Christ has completed his work on earth. Then they would have the responsibility to widely and clearly share that secret with everyone who would listen. And that command to share the secret of the kingdom of heaven comes down to us. Because they're told to keep on declaring the good news of Jesus Christ until the Lord comes again. Well, that generation have died. They've passed the baton on to us. We're still waiting for the Lord to return. So we're the people who have got a secret to share and we're allowed to speak it out freely, loudly, clearly to everyone around us. And this keeps on going until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in power. So we should be enthusiastic about sharing this message. So what is the secret? Quite simply, it is the good news of the kingdom of God. It's all about what Jesus has done. It reminds people that they are people who are in rebellion to God, that they are sinners, and that there is no hope in yourself. But God, in his love, in his grace, and in his mercy, has sent Jesus to sort out the problem. And then, by putting our faith, our trust in him, then we can have our relationship with God restored, which means that when we die, we go to heaven and not go to hell. And having that relationship with God restored means that you get to walk with him and we get to live like Jesus, living a life that's so different to the people who are still trapped in darkness. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. It's the news that's to be shared with everyone around us. And as we look at this passage, we're just focused on just these few verses. We see that they're in the perfect position, because last time we were thinking about the parable of the sower and the four different sorts of soil, and we saw that the message there, it finished with the fertile soil that produces all sorts of good fruits, and then straight away Jesus explaining what the fruit is. So this passage is all about being fruitful. And he moves from talking about the metaphor of a sower and seed to talking about a lamp in a dark room. A lamp in a dark room that's lifted up high for all to see. Now first today, the impact of this can easily be lost because we never really experience real darkness. unless you're someone who goes onto one of these tourist trips into caves, and they take you down to the bottom, and they turn the lights off, and everyone does this, and you can't see your hand because there's no light. We don't really know what darkness is because of electricity. It's a wonderful blessing. Our streets are lit. Our homes are lit. There's lights all over the place. We live up on the hill and we can look out over the valley going down towards Accrington and Oswestwhistle. And all you see at night are lights. It wasn't like that in the ancient world. When darkness came, when night came, it was really, really dark. And on an overcast evening when there was no moon, it would be pitch black. And they would just have these little circles of light where they had fires or where they had oil lamps. Little circles of warmth and civilization, while all around them there would have been darkness hiding all sorts of things. And Jesus is talking to these people who understand the importance of just a little oil lamp. And if you've got an oil lamp, what do you do with it? You don't put it underneath the bench. You don't put it underneath something. You lift it up high so that the light can spread out, so that it can shine into the corners of the room. And the gospel message is like this light shining in a dark place. Throughout the New Testament, the gospel is described as light in the darkness. And it's talking about a spiritual darkness. The spiritual darkness which people are born into, that they live under the control of. In fact, when we look in parts of John's gospel, we see that people actually like living in the darkness, because deep down they know what they're doing is wrong. And they think the darkness will hide them from God. But God's vision sees into the corner of every darkness. There is no hiding from him whatsoever. But the good news that Jesus brings, that pushes the darkness back, allows people to be restored to the right relationship with God. It allows them to be set free from the chains that bind them, and allows them to live in the light. People make this step by looking to Jesus for forgiveness. It is possible to escape the consequences of your wrongdoing. It is possible to escape from your sin and to be set free from the control of evil, so that you can live for Christ. You can move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, by trusting in Jesus. And as followers of him, we are responsible for sharing that message with the dark world that is all around us. So the command is there for every Christian. We must not keep our faith secret. We must not keep it hidden. Now that's easy to say for me standing here, but I know that it's far harder in practice. I know what it's like to try and share your faith with your colleagues in the working world. I know how hard it can be to try and share your faith with an unsympathetic relative. It is really difficult and really hard. And to make matters worse, we live in a time, in a society, in a culture, which doesn't really want anything that's sort of religious, especially anything that's Christian, being out there in the world, in the public world. So it's difficult for Christians. So many Christians have come across all sorts of barriers and tensions and frictions, just because they are trying to follow Jesus' command to be a light in a dark place. So it's no wonder that many Christians, they just feel that it's right to retreat to the church and will be Christians inside the church, but outside, when we're out in the world, we'll keep things quiet. We won't openly talk about going to church. We won't openly talk about Jesus, because we don't want to offend anyone. That's exactly what the darkness wants you to do. The darkness can't snuff out the light, but it can try and contain the light in places. It's not what Christ wants us to do. Christ wants us to be a light in a dark place, shining into these dark corners, maybe revealing things that people don't want to be revealed. But we're called to be obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are there, commanded to share the secret of the kingdom of God. So how are we to do this? Well, there's many different ways, but there's two ways that you can see clearly in this passage. First of all, accurately, and secondly, generously. So let's think about accuracy first. And we see this being brought out in verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear. We have to consider carefully what you hear. We have to focus on it. We have to pay attention to it. We have to know it so that we can accurately share Jesus' teaching with other people. He's encouraging us to dig down deep into God's word, to understand it, to know it, to understand what the gospel means, and to live it out in practice. And whenever we study God's word, we're not acquiring academic knowledge. It's not an academic thing. God speaks to us through his word. And as we look at God's word, we're developing and deepening our relationship with him. So the more time we spend studying the Bible and learning the Bible and meditating on the Bible, so we hear more and more of what God wants us to hear. And this is so important for us as Christians, because as Christians, we're saved in order to have a relationship with God. We're saved so that we can be friends with God. Before we trusted in Jesus, we were God's enemies. God has sent Christ so that we can be friends with him and have a relationship with him. And the main way that he speaks to us is through his word, through studying the Bible and listening to the stirring of the Spirit as we read his word. This is how God talks to us. Now, we all know, don't we, the importance of investing time in a relationship, whether that's with our children or with our spouse or with our friends. If you don't put any time in, then that relationship is not going to be very good. It's exactly the same spiritually. We need to be putting the time in to develop this relationship with God, to know him better, so that we can serve him better, so that we can become more like Christ, and so that we can accurately share the message that we've heard, so that we can accurately tell people what God is really like. This is what we are called to do. We should be obsessed with finding out more about Jesus, just like the young football fan is obsessed with finding out the facts and figures and the statistics about their team, and they just want to talk about it all the time. As Christians, we should have that same desire to know about Jesus, to know what he's done, to know about the wonderful things that are there in God's word. We should have that driven desire to know more and more about him. And the richer our relationship with the Lord becomes, the stronger it becomes, the greater our understanding of him. In turn, our witness for him is more authentic and more accurate. So we're called to give an accurate account of the things that Jesus has told us to do and told us to learn by considering carefully what he says. Then secondly, we're called to be generous. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we've got this strong encouragement here to be as generous as we possibly can. And as we look at the great crowd of people all around us, we see that there is a huge need out there for people to hear the gospel. But then as we look at them, we realize, well, maybe we'll go to this person, but we won't go to that person. One of the things about human nature is that we're most comfortable with people who are just like us. However we are, we're most comfortable with people who are just like us. And because we find sharing the gospel with people difficult, then the natural tendency is for us to share the gospel with people who are just like us, because we're within our comfort zone. We're stepping out for the Lord, but we're not reaching out to people who are different. And yet people who are different, whether it's the gospel's for everyone. It's for people who are poor and rich, for people who are young and old, for whatever ethnic group you may belong to. The good news of the gospel is for everyone. The temptation is that we just reach people who are just like us, and we limit ourselves. We need to be generous and share the gospel with everyone. Think of the time that you first heard the gospel. Some of you, it would have been people who were similar to you who shared the gospel. But some of you, maybe many of you, would have heard the gospel for someone who was quite different. Maybe an evangelist up there on the stage who you'd never spoken to. And if you were talking to them one-on-one, you might feel a bit nervous about it. Someone who is different to you. But they shared the good news of the gospel with you, and we're called to do the same. Share the good news of the gospel with everyone. Everyone who doesn't trust in Jesus needs to hear the gospel and needs to respond to the gospel. So we need to be generous in the way that we reach out to people, trying to reach out to absolutely everyone all around us. And as we seek to be generous in reaching out, we see that the Lord blesses us as well. As we look at these verses here, it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. So as we generously reach out with the gospel, so it will become easier for us to reach out with the gospel, and so we will start to see people being saved. Reaching out, sharing the secret of the kingdom of God, is what we're called to do, and it does take practice. It's a bit like learning to play a musical instrument. Lots of people learn to play musical instruments, and then once they've done their exams, they stop playing because they've got the certificates. 10 years later, after not picking up the instrument and they try and play it again, they may very well find that they've forgotten how to play it. Learning a musical instrument takes ongoing practice. And sharing the secret of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it takes ongoing practice. And the more we do it, the better we become, the better our witness. As Christians, we're called to be generous Christians who are living our faith in the public eye so that everyone around us knows that we are Christians. If you're a Christian who wants to keep it all to yourself, a self-centered, stingy Christian, then the Lord's not going to give you a generous measure. The Lord gives to us so that we can share with other people. That's what we're called to do. If you're self-centered, then you find that your Christian life, it just fades away and becomes harder and harder. And this is tragic, because the greatest joy of the Christian is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We're saved to have this wonderful relationship with God, where we praise him and worship him and live for him and serve him. And we do this in all sorts of ways. We do this by gathering together to sing his praises, by testifying to all the good that he's done in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. When we think about what God has done for us, it's an incredible amount. He's created us. We're only alive because God has created us. He provides for us. We live in this country which is relatively peaceful. Imagine living in South Korea this weekend. Many Christians live in South Korea. Look at the uncertainty that there is out there. But we have a certain measure of security. Did you decide what country you were going to be born in? No. This is God's blessing upon us. We live in at a time when there's all sorts of medicines available, when there's food in the shops, when there's food banks out there for people who are struggling. All these blessings come from God. And then, of course, for those of us who are Christians, we've heard and responded to that gospel. And there's a whole new load of blessings that come in when you become a Christian. We have so much to be grateful to God for. And that gratitude should drive us on to reach out. When we think that God has done so many good things for us, then that should motivate us to serve him and to live for him. Yet as we look at this passage, we see that there's another reason to serve him as well, a reason that we need to be a little bit careful about. And verse 24 and 25, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. So we see there that there is some sort of blessing, some sort of reward for being a generous Christian who is accurately sharing God's word. And this is an area where we do need to be very, very careful. Because as we think about this passage, naturally, our minds, our hearts, we may think about other passages in Scripture, like Luke 17, verses 7 to 10, where there's a little story about how we are servants of the Lord. And when we serve him, we're just doing our duty. So when we serve the Lord, we're just doing our duty. And we know that the Lord loves those people who are humble at heart, those people who are not proud, who are serving the Lord because they want to serve the Lord and not serve him for personal gain. And then we read a passage like this, which is clearly talking about rewards. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And then we think about other things that Jesus said, about storing up for yourself treasures in heaven, treasures that will not rust and rot like the things of this world. And it just reminds us that God is such a good and generous and loving God. He knows the service that we do. He sees the service that we do. And there will be rewards for it. But not rewards in this life, but rewards when we get to see him face to face. As Christians, we need to be so careful here. Because if we serve the Lord and we're motivated by this desire to get a reward for it, we need to remember that God, who sees everything, he sees our hearts. And the only service that's acceptable to him is the service that's done for the right reason, that's done for the right motive. So if you're busy in a church and you're serving and you're thinking, oh yes, I'm going to get a really good reward for this, then the Lord sees your heart. And you're not going to receive what you think you're going to receive. But when the Lord works in someone, they tend to see themselves as they really are. They become aware that they're sinners, they're saved by grace, and they become aware of their weakness and their frailty. And they muddle along, doing the best that they can, being faithful in the things that God has asked them to do. And they're going to be surprised when they get to see the Lord face to face, because they're going to be highly honored by him. So we need to be people who pray for a humble spirit. Pray that the Lord will use us, not because we're really strong, but because we're really weak. The Lord's name is glorified when he uses weak people to do his work for him. So the weaker we are, the more that God is glorified. And when we recognize that we're weak, when we realize that we're humble, then we have a great inheritance being stored up for us in heaven. But it's an inheritance that's going to be a surprise. It's a bit like one of those bank accounts that you open when you have children, or some people open when they have children. And each month, you know, the parents and the grandparents, they might be paying a little bit of money into it. And gradually, over the course of 18 years or so, it builds up to a large sum. And often that child doesn't even know that that bank account exists. But when they get to a certain age, they're given the bank book, and suddenly they find out that they've got this great blessing that's come to them. And that's how it is for Christians, true Christians, when they get to heaven. The Lord is storing up blessings for them, but they don't even know that they exist. We have this great promise, this great hope, because our God is such a good and generous God. Do we deserve these blessings? No, not at all. We are only doing our duty. But our Master, he is kind and generous, and he gives his people far beyond what they expect or what they deserve. So the question for each one of us today is really, how much do we love the Lord? How much do we serve the Lord? How much do we want to see his name glorified? How much do we want to see the people around us saved, to be snatched from darkness? Is this what we live for? Or do we live for the things of this world? Because this world, it seeks to limit us, to keep us in one place, and to stop us growing. We need to remember that all the good things of this world, they all come from God in the first place, and they're just for this life. One day they're all going to be taken away from us. One day we're going to stand before God. And then the things that will matter then and for all eternity, we realize that they're the important things. And maybe the things that we focus on in this life, our house, our holidays, our money, even our family, we realize that they're not as important as our relationship with the true and living God. And as people who are Christians, We need to listen to these commands, to use the resources that the Lord has given us for his glory, to spend the time and digging deep into his word, to have a richer and stronger relationship with him, to make sure that our witness, the light that we have, shines forth brightly, that we take every opportunity to be a witness, to tell people about Jesus, and through our lives, living lives that are distinct and different to the way that the people of this world live, so that people look at us and they know that we are different before we even open our mouths. This is what we're called to be. This is the secret of the kingdom of God, that we have been given this great responsibility to share. So let's share this secret and trust that the Lord will use us, weak tools in his hand, for his glory. Amen.